We're back to the Neil Haley Show here on the Caregiver Dave Celebrity Segment. I'm excited to welcome program Caregiver Dave Nassani. Dave, what's going on, man?
Hey, just living the good life, you know. Don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but it's good stuff.
No, see, we're not talking. Tomorrow's going to bring even better stuff. That's how we're going to look at things, and we're going to manifest that right now. But my guest today is Tanya Christensen. She's going to talk about the Mulligan, but I want to learn about her acting career and different things like that. We were talking off air about, you know, golfing and stuff, and maybe she gave me an idea. As my, again, when my number one talent is ideation, maybe I should see if, you know, my clients that I'm looking to attract her on the golf course. Let's just see. And we'll find out. Tanya, thanks for stopping by. How are you?
Hi, I'm wonderful. I really appreciate you having me this evening. It's a treat to be invited.
Exactly. You know, it's kind of funny when you talk about golf. One of my now focuses, I'm going to work more with sports professionals, former sports athletes, and I'm sure they all golf. So maybe you've already come up with something, and maybe I need to be hitting some golf balls right after this interview. So let's kind of talk about specifically enough your career. Did you always want to be an actor?
Yes. Ever since, you know, when you're a little teeny tot, and people always say, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's, I think it's the number one question that adults ask children. And it was always, I'm going to be an actress. That's what I always said. And I started off little in community theater, you know, church plays, school plays. And I would just go for it and do it. And I had no reservations, wasn't shy at all. Slowed down a little bit in middle school because school plays turned into musicals and I can't sing. And I wasn't in the mood to be a tree. And then it just picked back up again. I went to the University of Tennessee. And when I graduated, I couldn't find a degree. First of all, I couldn't figure out what I wanted to do because I always wanted to act, but I never really thought I'd be able to do it. If that makes any sense. I lived in Tennessee. I don't know anyone in the industry. So I was just, my mom was like, just pick a major and get out. And then I finally graduated and I was looking through the paper because that's what you did back then. I'm a little, yeah. A little older, and there was a little teeny ad and it said on air talent wanted. And I was like, this could be good or this could be very, very bad, but yeah. I'm going to go ahead and make that phone call. And it was it was for a shopping network. And so I was a host for 3 years doing that. And that's kind of how it all started. And from there, I got an agent and did commercials and kind of went from there.
You know, and I already could tell you that on air thing, you're like a pitch person in a way, right? What were you selling on air doing that stuff?
What wasn't I selling, I guess? We did, and I'm still doing it today. I'm a guest at HSN, the Home Shopping Network in St. Pete.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So I do that. I have a product that I do in the fall for that, a boot. But gosh, when I started, we did coins, collectible porcelain dolls, jewelry, exercise equipment, you name it. You know, there's a lot of stuff that those things sell. So you name it, I sold it. And it was a really, it's not acting, but it definitely got me comfortable in front of the camera, learn how to place the body, learn how to speak, kind of improv because it's not scripted. You have a couple of little bullet points. You know, the chain is 18 inches long. It's 14 karat gold and I'll sell it for 25.
Right, minutes. Right, exactly.
You know, so you kind of have to make up stories and romance it. So that's kind of where it all started, I guess.
See, I love this when I'm hearing this, because again, this is something that, you know, you think about how you sell something and it's not voiceover, because you're not doing voiceover work. You really have to provide a sense of acting to let them know you sell a product. I think voice acting and what you do in HSN is a totally different game. Can you define that? Then I'll let Dave have another question. It just interests me always about that impromptu. You get on there, you got to tell a story. It's almost like you're creating the brand story of anyone that wishes they had your mindset. Meaning, if you're selling a product or service, if you're trying to market a book or you're trying to do something, you have to tell a story and you have to make people want that product. So right. What do you think is the difference between a voice actor doing it and someone pitching something on HSN or one of the shopping networks?
They're really just two different animals. I've also done voiceovers and voice acting. I've done a lot of infomercials for, if you're ever in Italy and you hear this voice, I do a lot of infomercial voiceovers. That's just totally different ball game. I've done books as well. I've done things for the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, a lot of voiceover work. But you're right, when you're responsible for a product, and now because I'm a guest, I'm in charge of the product. I'm very much features and benefits. But when I was hosting, it was call to action. It was romancing. It was bringing the customer into my living room. So exactly. I'm not pitching, because that's gross. And it's kind of a turnoff. I want to tell you, and I will find, and I don't care what it is, I will find the good in something. You know what I mean? Even if there's
that's the skill set. Like when I interview so many people, 8,000 plus I've interviewed, Dave, or I don't have lost track, you know, each week it's a different amount. I've learned, you know, you're trying to carry a conversation. You're not to be the star. You're supposed to be entertaining. You got to ask the right question and you're going to move on. And that's what you do. And I'm like, well, that's the easiest interview. All right, Dave, I'll throw a question to you now. What do you want to ask Tanya before we get to the mulligan?
Well, I'm assuming if you're starring in a movie called Mulligan, that you must know a lot about golf. Now, I don't know if Will Smith knew a lot about golf when he did Bagger Vance, but tell me your story.
Okay. What's interesting is I don't know a lot about golf. However, a long time ago, I'm going to say maybe 8 years ago, I auditioned for this golf commercial. And then you had to dress the part. And they said, well, do you play golf? And I just go, who doesn't? So I live in Florida. Who doesn't? And I booked the job. And I was like, oh my gosh, my husband golfs. So I said, okay, all I need is a good swing. So we went and I worked and worked and worked until I got that good swing. So no, I don't know a lot about golf, but I do find myself in certain situations. I become just a big sponge and I just sit and I just soak it up and I don't feel the need to be wrung out. I don't need to give anything back. So that's kind of what I did during that commercial. And during the mulligan, it is heavy, heavy, heavy golf. We filmed in the Currahee Club in Toccoa, Georgia. And Currahee Club is a character in the movie in and of itself because it's so beautiful. Right. Even if you don't golf, go. But I didn't golf in the movie. So it's kind of interesting. I'm not on the golf course. I didn't golf. That was for Pat Boone and Eric Close, who plays my husband, Paul McAllister in the movie. So it's rather interesting. When they were doing all the golf scenes, I was actually running the golf paths because I'm a runner. So I would run the course. That I can do.
Yeah, that's a good golfer, isn't he?
Okay, so.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure.
Yeah. Wow. He and Eric are both amazing.
I've had Pat awesome. On my show, and I interviewed Debbie a couple months ago. So, and it was interesting to talk to Debbie. She was, what a delight she was, for sure. And I ended up only doing for radio because she says, well, I'm not doing Zoom. I said, well, I take time to prepare. I said, okay, Debbie, another time you have to come on the TV show. So. Let's kind of jump into the mulligan, your character, a little bit more in depth. First, the premise and the character. And I'm sure I want to go back to some of your other acting experiences as well, because you're a delight. You're exactly the easiest ones to interview because you know how to be on camera. You know how to be on, to have a conversation with somebody. And that's not always the easiest thing to do. This is something where we can take the day off, Dave, and just let Tommy talk the whole time. Go ahead.
That is actually a compliment. And I sometimes I will do something and someone says it's not scripted or you make it seem easy. And it's just, that's the biggest compliment to me. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'll stumble. Well, we just started, but let's see, what is the mulligan about? It's a golf term. I think it's over 100 years old and it just simply means a do-over, to take a do-over, to have a second chance. And this movie is heavily faith-based. It's a Christian film. Oh. So they pull us in with the Currahee Club and the beauty of golf. And if you're a golfer, you're going to love this because there's some cameos with Tom Lehman and a couple of others are in there. What was that, a kitten?
No, that was my squeaky chair.
Oh, I was like, oh, let me see your cat. So it's heavy in golf, but then the term the mulligan is a do-over. And it's a faith-based movie, how we all need a do-over. And truly all you have to do is ask. If you're a believer and you just say, Lord, I need a second chance, guess what you get? You get a second chance. So that's what the movie is about.
I'm so glad it's a faith-based movie. There's not enough of those.
I agree.
And good for Pat.
Enough good ones, you know? Yeah, they're out there, but really good ones.
Because we're seeing a split in audiences and what people want to watch and what people don't want to watch. There's always going to be an audience for something. And I think that's
done well. Yeah.
Faith-based is known. There's an audience that wants to see these kinds of films. And I think that the point, I guess, in this is you relate golf with that mistake. And there you go. And your character, how did you prepare for this character? Because as an actor, you know, all the time, you got to prepare for a character. Once you've got the role, how did you prepare?
It's interesting because I booked this. Okay, we filmed it a year ago and I booked it right before the world shut down and went into quarantine. Oh, and we didn't know what was going on. It was kind of weird out there, but it still wasn't, it was nothing to what it was. It was just kind of weird. So I got the sides, and the sides are basically your audition lines, the scene. Mm-hmm. But I never got the script, and I had to kind of read between the lines to kind of see what this is about. So I auditioned, and then I got a director session with the director, Michael Seibel, the producer, Rick Eldridge, and also the casting director, Mark Fincannon, was there. And I went in and I did my thing and I did what I could do. And then I left. And I was just, you know, I kind of threw it out there and I said, this could be a really good one, you know? And then maybe 3-4 days later, I found out I booked it. So excited. And then the world shut down. And I thought, darn it, you know, and they pushed it a month, then they pushed it forward, then they pushed it, and I never heard anything. And I thought, this is what happens. Movies lose their funding. The stars, Pat Boone, Eric Close, have other projects. They're very, very busy men and actors. And Pat's got his hand in everything, whether he's, you know, songwriting or whatever. So, but then it happened and they called me and they said, we're ready to go. And I still didn't have the script till about 4 days until I left for Georgia. So the preparation happened fast, but I really, in those four scenes that I was given for the audition, I could feel who she was. I could tell that she was a woman. She was a very strong woman that's rich in her faith. One scene was with her husband, and there's some tension there. So I knew how to do that. I'd been married 22 years. I knew how to do tension. There was redemption and coming back together. That's just beautiful to do. And then there was some interesting dynamics with my son as well. And I'm a mother of two children. So it also, I have to say, when something is not written well, I can't get it. I can't get the words. I have a hard time with it. This, I had it down like that because it's just beautifully written and very relatable. So it was kind of easy to jump right into.
That's great. And the people who are fans of Pat Boone, love golf, they got to go see the film. Now, I want to go back, Tanya.
And you would never know it's a faith-based film by the title, which is very clever.
Yes, it's true. Well,
all of them are starting that way, but they're not trying to trick. There is an audience. And that's the thing. It's like, there's an audience for HSN, right? Not everyone watches HSN. Not everyone. There's audiences for everything. And I think what's happened is if you have an idea, and you really want to put the work in, and you want to understand it, and you want to build a tribe or community, you can be very prosperous in whatever you do. And that's why a lot of people aren't going to work anymore. They found out their passion and they're not going to go back to work. So we'll have to find out what our country becomes. Everyone is pitching something, right? But, so Tanya, what would you say of the films you were most fond of or acting experiences you were most fond of? Because, you know, you were involved a lot with it, you know, working in the field of that. But what about an acting? Films that, like, you say, you know, this was an experience that really was my best.
I'm typical, I guess, as a lot of actors are. Very, very critical. I just see my work a little differently. I'm like, oh, it's hard. But that's normal. I guess something you just have to deal with. But I think what it comes down to is maybe not necessarily the project. If this one's different, the Mulligan's different. I'm so proud of it. And it's just so beautiful. But a lot of times it's not necessarily like, whoa, that's a life changer. It's the people that I'm surrounded by. If I have a great, beautiful script and I'm just surrounded by grossness, I don't want anything to do with it. I come to do my job and I'm out of there. But there are things like even just a little bit of television, you know, that I've done. It's just the people that are there. It's the professionals. It's the leads of the show come up and actually talk to me instead of just, I've been dismissed many, many times. I've been a guest star on a lot of television. It's just like, I don't know, you know, a hello would be nice. And then sometimes you're just welcomed and it's part of the family. Right. And that's actually with the Mulligan, we all came together to do a job and we left as a family.
They're great. And so you'll see what those different opportunities come, but I can tell what you really love is still the being on TV, right? Doing the stuff with HSN and all that.
I do. I love being on HSN. That's just fun because you just, you know, again, you're talking right into a little camera, but you know, you're speaking. I think there are 90 million homes or something. So that's so fun.
Crazy. And the products they're going to sell because people want. So if you have a great product or service to sell, what's your tip on getting on HSN?
Oh, now that I get asked that a lot, you know, there are, and I used to maybe wouldn't be able to figure it out because we used to actually go into the studios. And I kind of, it's a campus. It's a world in and of itself. But now since quarantine, I just do it. And I have an audition room, kind of like this is in my closet, but I have an audition room and I just set up and I have a little backdrop and I Skype my show right in. So those relationships and it's have changed a little bit. I don't know. I guess you just have to send an email. I don't know how you get a product on there.
We're going to Shark Tank, right? No, which one's
you that? Know, I met the guy that does the Ring doorbell.
Really?
He was in my training class.
Wow.
So he went to Shark Tank and then he got it on HSN. So I guess it's good enough.
So look at me. See, I'm already pitching. So that's it, guys. Get on. You have a product service, go to HSN. And maybe you never know, Tanya, that's another story that you can bring to the table. I think you should have a podcast just on HSN stories and stuff. That'd be interesting.
You should write a movie.
Or write a book.
Or write a book or a movie. Yeah.
I don't even know. A little spoof or something. But I do love it. I have to say my favorite genre is, or medium, I should say. I do love television so much. I love television. And that's kind of a goal of mine is to become, you know, like a series regular on a TV show because you're doing a mini movie every week. And then again, you get to know the DP, the director of photography, you know, the lady at Crafty Services, and it becomes a second family because my family at home is getting smaller and smaller as my children are getting older. And I love my work family.
No, you might be working for Hallmark. They really.
Oh, now see, that's Eric's. I need to chat with him about that.
So here's my tip for you. Hallmark is once their kids grow up, the talented women go to Hallmark and work there.
You either get your real estate license or you go work for Hallmark. Yeah, I'd love to be. I would love to be the mom on Hallmark and they need to hurry up or I'm going to be the grandma on Hallmark. So
exactly. But it'll
someone's got to call me.
All right. But Dave has a caregiver question. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, I've been a caregiver for 25 years to my wife. She had a headache 25 years ago, lost her speech, became paralyzed on one side. And we struggled for a couple of years, almost broke up, but we hung in there and I decided I'm going to be Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, help other caregivers not make the same mistakes I did. So I made a lot of them. And my wife decided she was going to do everything she did before. She was like a Martha Stewart, Wonder Woman all rolled into one. And she was definitely type A and she's accomplished her goal. She can do more than most normal people can do with both limbs. She does it with one arm and one leg tied behind her back.
Wow.
And so we've been on television and speaking on stages all across the country. And I'm just sharing my story about how everyone needs to understand that caregiving is on the horizon. It's the tsunami coming. Mm-hmm. And if you're either going to become one, you're going to need one. So now's the time to learn how to do it. So you're not like me scratching your head, trying to figure out what happened, you know. Has caregiving been in your life? I mean, I started a website, caregiverdave.com, just to help people prepare for it. It's an online support group for caregivers and for those who are not yet. Mm-hmm. How has caregiving touched your life?
That's a beautiful story. That's amazing. That is beautiful. Me personally, not yet. But as you said, it is the tsunami. It is coming. You know, every day in America, 10,000 people turn 55 or 65 years old. My grandmother, though, I have my grandmother with me. She's 92 years old. Uh-huh. I know, I'm fortunate. Yes, you know, not a lot of people can say that, but it's my father's mother. And my aunt, my father's sister, takes care of her. And they live about 3 hours away. So whenever I can, I go up and I just love to give my aunt the day off for her birthday.
So you're doing caregiving. That's caregiving.
I guess so. She is 24/7 and it's very difficult. My grandmother still has the mind that she can get up and go to the kitchen, and she can't, and she falls a lot, and it's so much on her. So whenever I can, I'll send her to the spa for the day and just sit with my grandmother, and we have Olive Garden because it's her favorite.
Oh, if only every caregiver had a friend like you.
Oh, you know what? All they need, because when you're a lot of times caregivers, maybe there's some resentment, and maybe it's hard, but a lot of times you're doing it out of love. If it's your spouse, if it's your parent, you're doing it because you made a promise, or it's just something for you. I think if one person, if one sibling, if someone would just maybe once a month, once every other week, just say, why don't you go on a date with yourself or your husband or your girlfriend? It would recharge those batteries.
Yep.
And that's not a lot, you know, just kind of giving someone the afternoon off.
But it's unusual that you have the awareness and the ability to understand that. A lot
I think
of people
that's sad. That's unusual.
They're clueless.
Yeah, that's actually sad, isn't it? That's unusual.
Let's see, but Tanya has been on
very thoughtful person.
Shopping and HSN and all those different shops. She has to learn their people's characteristics and when they would all call in, right?
Maybe. Oh,
you have to that relationship with the call in. So I'm sure you've been in the different shows back in the day where, hey, someone else is calling in. We bought this thing and you had to come and tell a story. And, you know, well, you're definitely... And a very interesting.
That's why people buy from you, because you're interacting with them. You're,
but she's heading the Hallmark. Family, so Tanya's heading the Hallmark next. She's Eric. And see, I get this idea. And then there you go. She's heading the Hallmark. So best place we can film, watch The Mulligan. Where can we watch it?
Okay. So right now, April 18th and 19th. So it's next Monday and Tuesday, 7 p.m. It's a small showing. It's a phantom showing. And what you have to do is go to themulliganmovie.com and you just simply type in your zip code. And then it tells you all the places where it's playing. It's over 1,000 theaters in the country. I think it's mostly AMC and Regal theaters. But it is a small showing because it's... You know, it just
that's what happens as a Christian film, small showing.
We're not Marvel, right?
No,
it's just as expensive to get something in the theaters as it is to make the movie. So if you can go out and support the film, and if we get sold out theaters, then they will extend it. And I think this is a movie that needs to be told. And we always just say, gosh, it changes one person, right? If it just changes one person and opens up someone's eyes, or maybe it'll be a connection between a husband and a wife. Maybe they'll look at each other differently. Maybe he'll grab her hand in the movie if they're having marital problems. Maybe it'll make the son kind of wake up and be nicer to his parents. I don't know. If it just, maybe it'll turn, you know, someone can turn their life over to Christ. If it, or maybe you just, you're already there and you just want a wholesome family movie that you can take your grandma to. You're going to love The Mulligan.
All right. Well,
there's a Regal theater in our town that always runs these Christian films.
Oh, go see it and tell me how you like it.
All right. Well, all right. Definitely. All right. Thank you, Tanya. Thank you, Dave. See you guys. Appreciate it.
And
you can follow you, Tanya, all places, right? On social media. I know you're on.
I'm on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Watching and listening to The Neil Haley Show. We'll be back in just a moment.